Good morning. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5 this morning, beginning in verse 8. And yes, we did have quite a bit of fun yesterday on the golf course and raised several thousand dollars to get kids to church camp this summer in the process. So that's the whole point of that. This morning we're in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 8. I've entitled our message, Lights On. Lights On. Let's pray. Father, as we go now to your word, I pray that you would turn the lights on spiritually. Lord, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would illuminate your word. Reveal truth to us, life-changing truth. Make it clear. And then, Father, I pray as your people, you would make our lives shine for you. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done in our lives and that you want to continue to do. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Look what Paul writes to Christians in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 8. Read this carefully with me. He says, "For you, Christian, were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." There is a spectacular miracle that takes place in a person's life when he or she gives his life to Jesus Christ. It's called the miracle of conversion. Paul has spoken about this several times. You read about it in the New Testament. When you humble yourself before the Lord, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, when you admit that you're a sinner and you ask Jesus to be your Savior, a miracle takes place in your life. All of your sins are forgiven. Your sins are washed away by the blood of Christ. When you give your life to Christ, you become a child of God, a saint, a citizen of heaven, a member of the church. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, at that very moment, the Holy Spirit of God takes up residence in you. Your body becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, you immediately receive every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, as we studied in Ephesians chapter 1. When you give your life to Jesus, you are joined to him. You're covered in his righteousness. When you give your life to Jesus, you become a brand new person, a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. You are given a brand new heart, a brand new nature. Jesus himself referred to it as being born again. The miracle that takes place in a person's life, the instant they ask Jesus to be Lord and Savior. And all by the power and the grace of God. Notice how Paul describes that here in verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. That is such a powerful picture. the change that God does in our lives. Before you come to Christ, before a person becomes a Christian, they are darkness. Notice it doesn't say that they're like darkness or they're walking around in darkness. Literally, before Christ, you are darkness. That is the condition of man apart from Christ. Absolute, total darkness. Now, nothing good happens in the dark. Darkness is the realm of Satan. Darkness is the realm of demons. Darkness is the realm of evil and sin and wickedness. Death. In darkness, you hear eerie organ music, right? Fog, graveyards, haunted houses. In darkness, that's where spiders and roaches hang out. Darkness shelters evil and helps it to fester. Disease flourishes in the dark. Shameful, insane, gross atrocities are committed in darkness. Before a person comes to Christ, darkness. But when you come to Christ, when you humble yourself, when you understand that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose again, and when you come to the light of the world, you know, Jesus is called the light of the world, and you ask him to be your Savior, it says, you become light. Notice again with me, not like the light, not walking around in the light, you become light. Darkness, light. The switch immediately goes on. What a contrast. In fact, I don't think there could be any greater contrast. Darkness, light. You have darkness or you have light. You have light or you have darkness. One or the other. Light is the realm of God. Light is the realm of angels. Light is the realm of glory and majesty. And splendor, and holiness, and purity, and righteousness, and life, and health, and all that is called good. If you have given your life to Christ, if you have humbled yourself and asked him to be your Savior, that change has been made in you. You were darkness, now you are light. That's what the Bible says. Every Christmas time, we put Christmas lights on our houses and on our trees, don't we? And I always like to get them all ready and don't turn them on. I like to wait for it to get dark. And then after it's dark, turn the lights on and you go, wow. Lights on. That's what's happened to you as a Christian. God has turned the lights on. And you are a sight to see. You are a sight to see. How many of you remember what God first created in the creation account? Genesis chapter 1, third verse in the Bible. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. If you're a Christian, God one day spoke into your darkened soul and said, "Let there be light." And there was light. You have become light. And understand, this is profound. What Paul is saying here is you have become light in the Lord. How are we to understand that? Well, it's kind of an amazing thing. There's a famous preacher, Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse, and he tried to describe it as reflecting God's light, like when the moon comes up. You know when the full moon comes up and you can see it? Is the moon itself shining? Does all the glow originate with that? No, it's reflecting the sunlight, isn't it? And so that's how some people choose to think of this. We don't shine in and of ourselves. We reflect the sunlight of God. And there's truth to that, but this literally goes deeper. This literally says you become light in the Lord. The idea is by you being joined to Christ, who is the light of the world, you become light, his light. One commentator described it this way: our light is derived from him. Not a ray of it comes from ourselves, but somehow our incorporation in Christ allows us to actually be light. Do you understand, my brother, my sister in Christ, the miracle that God has done in your life in saving your soul? Peter speaks of an amazing truth in 2 Peter chapter 1. He says, as Christians, we have become partakers of the divine nature. You are completely outside of darkness. You have become light in the Lord. The miracle is spectacular. Don't you ever forget it. It's interesting, Jesus once said, speaking of the end times in the future, he gave this prophecy. Jesus himself said, then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. That's interesting. One day in the kingdom that's coming, Jesus said, the righteous ones will shine like the sun. Maybe we'll be light people. Maybe our glorified bodies will shine with brilliance. And right now we don't see it, but one day we will. There are no halfway measures here. You are not part darkness and part light. Can you have both at the same time? If there's darkness, there's no light. Once the light comes in, there's no darkness. You are either darkness or you are light. Now, if you are apart from Jesus Christ, you may be very religious, but if you've never received Christ, you may think you're a really good person, but if you've never received Christ, you are darkness. If you have received Christ, you are light. There are no halfway measures. And I would ask you this morning, are you light? Or are you darkness? If you're a Christian, God has made you light. Now, in light of that, what do we see at the end of verse 8? You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of God. Light. Do you understand that, Christian? You have been made a child of light. And so as light, you are now to walk as a child of light. Walk is the word in the New Testament. We've run across it many times. That's the word that speaks of how you live day by day by day by day. The manner in which you live your life as a Christian in your days on this planet. And since God has made you light, you should walk as a child of light every single day, wherever you might be, in your office, at school, your community, your neighborhood, your home, in your recreation, in all that you do. See, God has made us light, and we should walk as children of light. Paul mentions three qualities here that should be shining brightly from our lives as children of light day by day. Look at verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Christian, goodness should be shining forth from your life day by day. This is a word that's a very general word. It's used to speak of positive moral qualities characterized by a genuine interest in the welfare of others. It's a word that's also been used to speak of being generous. It's the idea of you are living your life day by day. You're shining this goodness, this moral quality about your life, sharing with others, generous to others, kind to others, good, oh so good to others. Righteousness. Whenever you see righteousness in the Bible, think rightness. It's living rightly before God and man. It's living in integrity in all your dealings before God and man in your life, day by day, shining. Truth shining forth from your life. You're honest, you're genuine, you're sincere, you're trustworthy. You can be counted on. You speak the truth. You live the truth. You notice that this is called the fruit of the Spirit in verse 9. There's more fruit that's mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. I'll read it to you. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Do you see? A child of light is living day by day consistently according to the morals as defined by God, as defined by His Word. It says in verse 10, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. That is what a child of light does. The child of light finds out what is acceptable to the Lord. So here you are. God has saved you. You become light and you live your life as a child of light and you're going through life and you come against a situation and you wonder, how should I respond? How should I react? A child of light will find out what's acceptable to the Lord. Not what's acceptable to my friends, what's acceptable to the world, what's acceptable to the Lord. And so you're always wanting to please God and go to His Word and find out what He wants you to do. That's the child of light. That's living as a child of light. Look at the very clear warning in verse 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Fellowship is the Christian word, koinonia, to share, to associate, to be tight with. As a Christian, as a child of light, you are not to share in works of darkness. You're not to be sympathetic towards it. You're not to associate with it. You're not to be connected to it. A couple weeks ago, we talked about how there are things in life that are not fitting. They shouldn't even be mentioned among the people of God. You should not be engaged in debauchery or sexual immorality or encouraging it. You should not be engaged in business unethical business behavior or even encouraging it. It shouldn't touch you. You don't share in that. You're a child of light. You're utterly different. Now, this doesn't mean that we have to steer clear of all the non-believers in our lives. Does the Bible say when you see a non-believer, turn around and run? Don't touch the non-believers, you'll get spiritual cooties, that kind of thing, right? No, we can't leave the world. Jesus said that we're in the world, but we're not to be of the world. The idea is you impact non-believers, but you don't blend in with non-believers. You don't share in that. That's the child of light. Now, Christian, please, I want you to see this. We like to think about the great miracle that God does in our life at conversion. And the idea that we were darkness and we become light. But now listen, you're light. And you should live differently now. It's a responsibility. Jesus gave us the responsibility. In Matthew chapter 5, he said to Christians, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Do you see, that's what Jesus said. You shine. Don't you dare cover your light. Don't put a bushel over it. Shine. Live as a child of light. Day by day. Wherever you might be. Not just at church on Sunday. And I'm telling you, in this world, you're going to stand out, aren't you? Now, I want to share with you what I think a key is to our shining. You know, a lot of Christians will hear a sermon like this and they'll say, "All right, man, I'm going to start shining. I'm going to get out there and shine. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to be totally different. People are going to see a changed person." And I hope, I like that attitude, but you'll fail in your own strength. You know the best way to shine? Is to spend time with the light of the world. It's spending time with Jesus yourself. It's being enthralled with Jesus. Christian, listen, it's being enthralled with Jesus. It's keeping your eyes focused on Jesus. It's you spending time with Jesus day by day, because Jesus will rub off on you. I've always loved this story in the Old Testament where Moses would spend time with the Lord, just him and God, in the tent of meeting. And then he'd come out and his face would glow. And it would glow so much, people would say, "Moses, put a veil on." And it was that glow that came from a man spending time with his God. The glow of Christ upon you, in you. Shining through you. See, Christianity isn't you going out and trying to do all this stuff in your own power. Christianity is spending time with the Lord, growing in your relationship with Him, and the byproduct of that is that you shine. People see Christ in you. How many of you remember glow-in-the-dark Frisbees? Remember glow-in-the-dark Frisbees? We loved them. I loved them as kids. And when you get the glow-in-the-dark Frisbee the first night, does it work? No, you're disappointed. And then you read on the back, you got to put it in light before it'll glow. And so you'll keep it in the sun that whole day, and it absorbs the light. And then at night, it shines. That's a perfect way to describe a Christian life. Spend time in the light. Absorb the light of Christ. And you will shine. God will use you. That's what children of light do. They spend time with the Lord. What's acceptable to you, Lord? How can I grow in you, Lord? How can I follow you, Lord? Lord, use me. Fill my life. Use me this day. Now, I'm telling you, if you live like that, Christian, listen, you are going to make an impact. You will impact people. Did you notice that the word expose shows up twice? Verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? expose them, for it's shameful even to speak of those which are done by them in secret. But all things that are what? Exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Christian, listen, if you are shining, you are going to expose wickedness. You cannot hide light in darkness, can you? If you got a dark place and a light comes on, your attention goes right to the light. I read that in World War II, when the Germans were bombing Britain, the British government imposed a total blackout at night. And it was so dark that any little light, people could see people lighting up cigarettes from planes. People were fined for lighting matches. Man, when you turn on a light in the dark, you see the light. We live in a very, very dark world spiritually. And if God has turned your life on, your light on, you will show up. You will make an impact. People will know. You will be so different. People will know that you're different. People will be convicted by your life. People will say, why don't you cuss, man? Why don't you laugh at our dirty jokes? Why don't you come get drunk with us at happy hour? Why do you go to church so much? Why do you live the way you do? You'll stand out. You'll expose. Now, I want to warn you, they're going to have three kinds of reactions, and I've seen all of these in my lives as I've tried to shine for Christ. When you shine for Christ, I mean, when you take that bushel off and you are shining and you are serving Christ and you are living for the Lord, there are going to be some people who will attack you. There are some people that love the dark and hate the light. They're the ones like, you know, when someone's sound asleep and you shine a bright light in their face. Isn't that fun? You ever had somebody do that to you? If you're shining your light, there are going to be some people that will react just like that to you. Get out of my face. Another reaction is this. You will have people begin to ignore you or avoid you. You're a Christian and you begin to really begin to start shining that light and standing for the Lord. And very, you know, all of a sudden there are going to be people. They won't attack you. They'll just avoid you. No longer will you be invited to their social gatherings. No longer will you be a part of their circle because your life convicts. And you know what? I know a lot of Christians, they get really hurt by that. Oh, I'm standing for Christ and I'm losing some friends. Listen, that will happen when you shine the light. Are you willing to do that? You're no fun anymore. I hate that, how people think when you're a Christian, you don't have any fun. You have a lot of fun as a Christian, and it's good, clean fun. Amen? It's joy and it's peace. So you're going to have people attack you for shining your light. You're going to have people ignore you, belittle you, avoid you. But there's a third possibility. You might actually have people become light through you, your testimony. Because there are going to be people that will see your life. They'll see you shining. They'll see your peace. They'll see your joy. They'll see this different person. And they will say, I want that. And they will come to you and they will ask, what makes you shine? And at that point, you will get to share with them Jesus. You can literally watch people begin to shine through your shining. And if somebody comes to Christ through your life, it's worth it for all of eternity to shine. So are you out there in your community and are you shining? Are they seeing that different person where you work, among your friends? Are they seeing that? You will have an impact. Now, there are some Christians, and I think what they do is they forget about living the life. You know, there's a lot of Christians that will walk into a group with white gloves on, and they come and they're very judgmental, condemning. You lousy sinner. You should stop this, stop this. And you know what? They try to preach. They try to share truth, but they do it in a very judgmental way. You know, the best way is to live a radically changed, transformed, different life in front of a person. Let them see a changed man, a changed woman. And then they say, what happened to you? And you get to share. Please understand, walk the walk trumps the talk. The walk. There was a 3-day Bible conference that took place, and there were some great preachers there, and there were some great sermons that were preached. On the last day, a man responded to the altar call and gave his life to Jesus. Afterwards, someone asked him, which of the pastors who spoke this week compelled you to come forward? The man was startled. He replied, it wasn't any pastor's preaching, it was my co-workers practicing that brought that man to Christ. My co-workers practicing. That's what people need to see. Christians that shine. That is the witness. Paul closes with a pretty strong exhortation to us Christians. Look at verse 14. He says, therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. That is addressed to Christians. Paul says, listen, wake up, Christian. Arise from the dead. Don't be sleeping. Be fully awake. Be fully alert. Be fully shining. Take that bushel off. Don't be a sleepy Christian. You know, you can do a lot in your sleep. You can talk in your sleep, right? You can laugh in your sleep. You can walk in your sleep. You can even nod and smile at preachers in your sleep. And hopefully you're not doing that this morning. But you know, there's a lot of Christians that live a real sleepy life. They may be Christians, but they're not fully awake. They're not shining. I would call on you. I would exhort you. Wake up. Shine. The lights have been turned on. Do you know how blessed you are to have the lights on? To be called out of darkness? You know, there's something that Jesus said in John chapter 9 that haunts me, and it should motivate all of us as Christians. Jesus said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Oh, man. It's day. There is a time coming when night will fall and the work will be over. And I believe that day is coming very soon. work. Shine. Be fully awake. There was a Chinese farmer who went to a Christian medical missionary compound in his town to have cataract surgery. The procedure was successful. This man was overjoyed, he could see. The next day, that man disappeared. He left town for many months. Everybody's wondering, where'd this guy go? When he finally returned, he was pulling a rope, and holding onto the rope was a string of blind men who had all come for the very same surgery. Oh. The best witness for the gospel is a changed life, where that one day you were blind, you gave your life to Christ, and now you can see. And you spend the rest of your life shining. And at the end of your life, you'll be able to say that you brought blind men with you to Christ, and you watched their lives change as well. Isn't that where it's at? I ask you, won't that matter the most at the end of your life? Let's commit this to the Lord. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Father, we thank you for the way you enlighten a life. Lord, there are many of us here this morning who could say we once were blind, but now we see. We were once darkness, but now we're light. Thank you for salvation. Now I would pray, Lord, as your people, as we examine our lives before you here this morning, I would pray that every one of us would shine brightly in that sphere of influence where you've placed us. That place at school, that business. That military unit, that circle of friends, that, Lord, help us to shine. And Father, I want to pray for anyone who belongs to you here this morning who has been putting that bushel over the light. Pray that this morning it would come off. Father, I also want to pray for anyone here this morning who is yet to come into the kingdom of light. You may be here this morning, and you're not sure that you become light, that transformation, that miracle of conversion has not taken place in your life. And you say, you know, I've always been in the light. I've been religious. I've been really, really good. But do you understand what the scripture says? It's darkness or light. And the difference is not the good life that you live, but it's being saved by the blood of Christ. Because we may all live good lives, but none of us live perfect lives. And only perfect lives get to heaven, which means we can't get there by ourselves. Christ died. His blood was shed that all of our sins might be forgiven, that we might become righteous and perfect in him. And if you ask Christ to be your Savior right now, at this moment, the switch is turned, the lights go on. For all of eternity, you become one of his shining ones. Born again, changed. Now, if you're not sure that you've done that, I'd like to give you an opportunity right now. I'd like you to receive Christ right now. get right. Pray this prayer with me if you've never done so. You pray this. Lord Jesus, I invite you right now to be my Savior. I ask you right now into my life. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I humble myself before you. I need you. I am a sinner. Wash them all away. Become my Lord. Become my Savior. Make me born again. Turn on the light. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and enable me now to live a different life in front of others. Praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. We're going to close with a song. We're going to have counselors up here in the front. If you prayed to receive Christ this morning, I'd invite you to come forward. We have some information we'd like to get to you to help you in your growth in the Lord. If you need prayer for any reason, maybe you need to rededicate your life as a Christian here to the Lord this morning. Today would be the time to do it. Let's close. Let's have the